Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today, and our special guest is Dr. Michael Torrance, the president of Motlow State Community College, and a former guest on this show, so I should say welcome back.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being welcomed back, and it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Michael. It's always good to have a chance to visit, and you and I were on a program together on Zoom here a month or so ago with Dr. Susan Elkins.
Yes. She cobbled us together to get the band back together kind of performance.
Yeah, that was a reunion of friends.
That's
and,
right.
And a good time. Well, not everyone may know your background, so tell us a little bit, tell our listeners about your background and how you got to be president of Motlow State.
Sure. Well, everything in regards to Tennessee began in 2002 when Michael Gene Sutton, I know his full government name, became the head coach at Tennessee Technological University, and I was a former player of his in high school. I subsequently completed my bachelor's degree, finished my playing career at South Dakota State University, finished my master's degree, and was trying to figure out what I was going to do next. And I just so happened to be available when he called and said, "Hey, dude, would you want to be on my staff? And oh, by the way, they just started a PhD program in exceptional learning at Tennessee Tech University." It was the best of both worlds for me to be involved with the sport that got me into school and helped me stay in school and, mm-hmm. and stay on course, as well as engage in the academic pursuits that I was interested in.
Well, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that, but that's it's really neat how Coach reached out to you, and the Pythagoras would call it the music of the spheres, just the stars aligned.
That's right.
That's great. So go on from there. What did you do after after Tech?
So in between finding the first job in higher education, I had a great opportunity with Professor Matthew Zagumny at Tennessee Tech, who took me under his wing and shared opportunities in Poland with me. So I ended up writing a dissertation. Sometimes I think to the chagrin of David Larimore, that was a discussion about Polish hip hop as a form of situated learning and multiliteracies. So it was a way to engage with the experience of being abroad and talking about the importance of information communication technology.
So
So I thought it was wonderful. Dr. Larimore had lots of questions about the validity of the study, but I digress. Lisa Zagumny helped me get through it, along with Dr. Setliff and Dr. Carl Owens, and the rest, as they say, moves you through history. As I moved up to Pennsylvania at the behest of Leo McGee, former, great mentor, and miss him dearly.
Amen.
He said, "Make sure that you go above the Mason-Dixon line to make all your mistakes, and then you can come back, because people will then think you know what you're doing." So I followed his sage advice and came back to be assistant vice president of academic affairs at Volunteer State Community College. That community college bug bit me, and I enjoy being in that space, and moved fast forward 3 or 4 or 5 years later, and I was honored to be the president at Motlow State.
It's a great career, and you've had some wonderful moves and some wonderful accomplishments.
Thank you.
During it. And as an old community college graduate myself, I relate to your bug.
Yes, sir.
Community colleges are special places, no question. Well, you're at Motlow State, so that's just a little bit down the road from Cookeville. So tell us about Motlow and sort of how it's doing today.
Yeah, so the highlights that people like know by the numbers, we are the 35th fastest growing post-secondary institution in the nation. I don't know if people know that, but we are back-to-back-to-back-to-back highest performing community colleges based on the performance funding by TEHEC in the state of Tennessee.
Outstanding.
And that is the work of not just us as an institution, but definitely all of our business and industry partners, our K-12 partners, and the support that we receive from our trustees and presidents emeritus. I'm fortunate to have several of our presidents still around and giving me great advice as I navigate everything. Additionally, we're probably Within the Tennessee Board of Regents, I would say that we're looked at as one of the institutions, not the only, but one of the institutions that's really buying in and utilizing the use of technology and integrating that as much as we can and as much as our faculty are ready for to help us best prepare for the students that they're coming to us with this penchant for the use of mobile devices and being able to get things on demand. Wherever they are, whenever they feel like touching it and getting involved in it. So we've done a lot in the last several years. Our team, not just the senior executives, but from the office of the president across the organization to the facilities and maintenance folks, making sure that we put the infrastructure in place. And that's just going to continue to take more time. And today, as we see ourselves coming out of a 15-month, 14-month pandemic, we have decided based on the data, we've looked at our 11-county service area, 4,500 square miles, south of 40, Middle Tennessee, that it's time to come back. So we started our phase-in plan on Monday.
Great.
And we're really excited and looking forward to being able to support not only the Upper Cumberland, but the Mid-Cumberland region and Southern Middle Tennessee region, students and those who are looking to retrain. The holes that exist because of COVID are in the service sector. And we recognize that some of those service industry positions are going to be automated, but it doesn't mean that people don't have value, and their value is going to be found in some of the areas like data science, coding, specifically Python, if you're out there listening, is going to be a wonderful tool to be able to grab. And we have a 4-day certificate that will get you hired and prepared to go to work in an automation robotic training center in Warren County, Tennessee, McMinnville. So we're prepared for what the world is ready for today and getting ready for the future.
Well, you've really got a great reputation in technology, and part of that just comes from Tullahoma and the great industry support around you, the Arnold Engineering Development Center.
Yes.
And all the talented folks that are around there. Motlow's always had a great reputation, and certainly from the perspective of Tennessee Tech, it's always been one of our best feeders to engineering and the STEM disciplines here.
Right. You would think with so many engineers that are graduating from Tennessee Technological University, my daughter, which was one of them, last Friday, chemical engineering degree, and then the broad number of engineers in the Tullahoma area, Coffee County area, it seems as if engineering is contagious. And it's its own virus, but it's a good virus because there can't be good viruses in this part of the state. And we are continuing to capitalize on that by creating partnerships that have been worked before but needed to be reclaimed, so to speak, with the University of Tennessee Space Institute, one of them, Microcraft, Jacobs, in Tullahoma specifically. So it's not just manufacturing. It is also looking at the global impact, because those businesses have global impact and imperatives on safety, health, wellness, as well as the space race that continues.
Yeah, they really do. And a lot of folks don't even know about UT's Space Institute.
Right.
It's a beautiful facility, and it does great work. Astronauts have come out of that program, and it's just a very strong program. So what's Motlow's partnership with it?
So what we thought through was the fact that the idea of blooming where you're planted, and there's so many kids who grow up in Tullahoma and they end up traipsing off to Huntsville, to Knoxville, to Nashville, to Memphis, even Mississippi and Arkansas, and in other places like Georgia. And since we're SEC and all that kind of stuff, we won't talk about that. But a lot of very sharp students leave that area to go on for their four-year and post-baccalaureate degrees. And we want to create a space now that UT is moving into a partnership. I think that they'll be rubbing elbows with Martin Methodist, creating a space where our homegrown students can stay and get what they need right there if they need to. Now, I know that it's really important to have a dynamic experience when you go away to school, or the experience of meeting people who maybe didn't grow up with you. So creating spaces where those students still get the opportunity to study abroad, as well as do student and exchanges with faculty during the summer or during semesters. so that they get that well-rounded experience of seeing people and hearing people that didn't grow up in the spaces that they did. So, because that's really important.
I agree, it is, and it's always seems to me to be part of the value of an on-campus education of some type or another. Well, speaking of on-campus education, tell me how many students are there? How many? And you can count your branch campuses too, and tell us about those branch campuses.
Yeah, so we in 19 we hit a high mark where we had 7,023 students, and then this past year, and those are my numbers. Okay, so because you know how the numbers go, you got your institution numbers, your THEC numbers, TBR numbers, and they're all great numbers. But we finally got over the 7,000 mark.
That's great.
But if you looked at the numbers, it would say 6,991. But then if you counted over the course of the semester, we eclipsed 7,000. And then we dropped to just over 6,500 students last year. And so we've got a wrinkle. We're looking forward to setting some goals, which we have. A 5% increase would get us roughly 323 students, and that would get us just under the 6,991 for the fall of 2021. But a 7.7% increase would give us 503 students. And since I don't round up or down because these are human beings, the 503 students would get us over 7,023, which would get us, I think, closer to 7,100 for the fall. So that's our goal. And although this is not a numbers game because we're talking about people, as we continue to perform well in the funding formula, it's not just about enrollment. It's about the sense of belonging.
That's right.
That our students feel with our faculty, with our staff, and on our campuses, because that's what keeps people coming back, not just the fact that we're growing, but we're growing in the right way, slow, measured, steady, and focused.
This is Education Matters, and we're talking to Dr. Michael Torrence, the president of Motlow State Community College, and we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Education Matters. We're talking to Michael Torrence, and Dr. Torrence, we were talking before the break about a sense of belonging, which a lot of campuses claim to have, and some sense of identity is there on every campus. But Motlow has a special feeling to it, and talk about that sense of belonging.
Yeah, so the historical context of the culture of Southern Middle Tennessee, knowing your neighbor, going to church with your neighbor, knowing that your neighbor will cut your grass if need be, they will bake you pies, and the understanding of what it means to be down home. You know, and if you know what that means, that is the culture and the flavor of Southern Middle Tennessee in the Upper Cumberland. It's expanse. So when we think about, they call us mountain folks when they start coming up the hill to get to Putnam County and go up on the mountain. But as we get down to the valley, near the rivers, lakes, ponds, it's connected, and you have to experience it. It's not a novel kind of connectedness. It is a historical, it's generational, and it's about value. So the way in which we engage in belongingness is that we're beyond the concept of simply diversity, equity, and inclusion. We think that that is encompassed into this concept of belongingness. And we know that those are important concepts. We know that inclusion is important. We know that diversity is important.
Sure.
We know that belonging as a part of it is simply a spindle. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the importance of people And it just so happens that we're training them and skilling them up to help spur not just local economy, but the regional economy, because that's the purpose. We don't want them to stay with us forever, but we do want them to come back to us always.
Yeah, you're training citizens and developing citizens, not just training them. And you're right. You want that sense of identity to be there forever. And I came out of a community college in Florida and still remember those days and that identity as a Spartan in those days very, very well. Well, let's talk a minute about another kind of identity. The Tennessee legislature just honored you. They were a year late in a technical sense, but with COVID, we pretty well can forgive that. But there was a big 50th anniversary for Motlow.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's quite a piece of history.
Yes. So Motlow last year celebrated 50 years of serving its communities and growing, exponential growth in the last several, this last decade. Under the watchful eye of Frank Glass, Art Walker, Mary Lou Apple, just and everyone that was within their senior leadership teams and the faculty that were a part of those groups. We've seen campuses spring up and buildings spring up, and more people than we ever thought or imagined would attend Motlow State or seek us for partnership in their educational attainment journeys and training journeys. It wasn't in the cards. It was not what people imagined. So today, I think it's 3 weeks ago, Monday, that we were honored by the Tennessee General Assembly. So thank you to Pat Marsh and Shane Reeves for that proclamation and to Cameron Sexton for presiding over it. We were able to say a few words of thanks. And the best part of it for me, although I enjoy being around Representative Marsh and Senator Reeves and Speaker Sexton, I enjoyed being able to ask the people who had been at the college for not all those 50 years, but a long time, our most senior faculty, our most senior staff members, if they were interested in going with us. And that picture will hold a special place for me forever because of the diversity of people based on the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50-year
yeah.
history of the institution. And we're looking forward to a 50 more going forward.
Well, that's great. That is just super. You've mentioned your branch campuses. Talk about your main campus and then also your extension campus.
Sure. So the home campus, as people like to refer to it, the first campus, 1969, is in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just over the Coffee County line. So it has a 6014 Ledford Mill Road address of Tullahoma, but a P.O. box of 8,500 in Lynchburg. So it's an interesting dynamic between the two addresses.
But the Motlow connection to Lynchburg is
huge.
A significant
one. Yes. So Senator Rager Motlow and his family, the Motlows, who are descendants of Jack Daniel, bequeathed 187 acres to us, to the state, to start the school. And we are still in the original administration building, the Sam Ingram administration building, doing good work out of it. So that's where the home campus is. We have a campus in Fayetteville, Lincoln County, as well, and that's named after Sundquist. I know everyone knows that name. We also have a location in Warren County in McMinnville, and that's where we have the Automation Robotics Training Center. And in between the two Motlow locations is a technical college, which is our partner within the Tennessee Board of Regents system. Moving further north, we have a location in White County, just adjacent to Putnam. So we see students come back and forth mm-hmm. between these two counties. And then the largest location in terms of the number of students is in Rutherford County in Smyrna. And I don't know the last time you've been to Smyrna, but Sam Ridley Pike is just exploding. That parkway is simply exploding with business, industry, new places to live, and I don't know what they're building sometimes, but if I don't go every week, I come back.
You lose track.
It's something that's blown up. We also have more to come in terms of online, this opportunity. We can look at it all kinds of ways in terms of what the COVID-19 and the pandemic has done for, not to, but for higher education it has given us the opportunity to leverage the tools that are at our fingertips. So we'll continue to leverage those skills that we've gained, but most importantly, we'll make sure that the five locations that we have in Fayetteville, Moore County, Warren County, White County, and Rutherford County continue to be thriving with getting people on campus. As I said, we opened up May 10th, and we're looking forward to supporting our communities.
Well, that's great. And you you mentioned the post-COVID higher education scenario. It's probably true for every college and university across the nation that this has had some impact on their educational delivery. How about in the case of Motlow?
Yeah, so the good or bad thing, depending on which faculty member you talk to, we had been having discussions about the importance of data awareness and data use and data management, as well as technology inclusion into our courses and curriculum development prior to COVID. So we had went through OER training. 3/4 of our faculty had training the June and over the course of the summer prior to COVID. So we were better positioned than we would have been if we hadn't have done that. We were also having conversations about OpenStax, the use of library guides or LibGuides, and additionally integrating what I like to call asterisk R. So we have some great partners in VideoBomb out of Nashville, as well as Labaki Inc. out of Jackson, Mississippi, that are VR, AR, MR companies, mixed reality, virtual reality, augmented reality. And so we've built two locations, one in Moore and one in Smyrna, where we can feature the ability to train using virtual reality. And we're pretty darn excited about that, as that's going to tie into cybersecurity, logistics, supply chain, construction, insurance, and housing. It's going to be great.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit more about some of the advanced technology at Motlow. This is Education Matters. We're talking to Michael Torrance, the president of Motlow State Community College, and we are going to be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking Education Matters with Michael Torrance, the president of Motlow State. And Michael, right before the break, we were talking about virtual reality, augmented reality, all of the electronic things that are just so much a part of a young person's mindset these days. And Motlow has, you've had a reputation for decades of being, partly because of your location in Tullahoma, being sort of on the leading edge of technology with mechatronics and your automation center in McMinnville. There's just a lot going on, but talk about how that's going to change some of the opportunities for students.
So for students, it begins with making sure that we train and make aware our own staff and faculty, because to do that in the inverse is poor preparation. To have this conversation with students saying, hey, this is going to be here when you get here, and not make sure that we do our due diligence to share it with our faculty, create spaces for them not only to learn the skills, but to talk through where the failing points will be, where the headaches will be, what do you do when things don't work? Because that happens. You know, sometimes the power goes off. What are we going to do when that happens? So we start with that in mind with the students. We're also bringing students as early as third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade to campus, as well as our dual enrollment students. And we're asking them, what do you expect when you get here? And that question is needed to be asked more, and not just from us adults. It's needed to be asked of the students who are preparing and thinking through, where do they want to go? What do they want to be? The young people ask me, have you ever heard of a Twitch coder? And before I knew what TikTok was, they were talking about coding on TikTok. Uh-huh. And the use of Unity and its expanse and the importance of Java, C sharp. So understanding that these are the, I guess we could call the breadcrumbs for developing coders for the future, this will definitely impact students who are interested in homeland security. This will definitely impact students that are interested in data management, data science, and as well as the job descriptors, we have no clue what they're going to be.
Absolutely.
And that's what's exciting to me, Dr. Bill, the idea that we are going to be building the future. And not we're going to be, we are. And I don't even know that we all understand the implications of the acceleration. You know, it used to be every year we're going to see something change, then 6 months, then 3 months. And I think we may be down to 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
That everything rapidly accelerates every 2 weeks.
We always told our students a lot of the tools you're learning at a university or they're going to be obsolete by the time you graduate. You're learning a way to learn the new tools more than you are a specific C or C plus or
absolutely.
Fortran in my case back in the 60s. So that's going to be true again, and you've certainly got a great base for doing that.
Could I interject the fact that those who are learning these skills or those that may not have these skills need not fear automation and robotics?
Right.
Because what this is going to allow us to do is prepare for the future in a way that I think that we'd all be interested in. So I would always love to give the people that I work with more money and more time. And so since I know that I don't determine what the budgets are, I don't determine what we're going to pass along, the fact that we can actually give them more time by using simulation, AI, and other pieces of technology to assist them is going to be monumental.
I think so, too. It's just amazing how all of these artificial intelligence platforms and other just enhancements are rocking their world and our world, too. Our world, too. Well, you talked earlier just very briefly about Motlow's role in economic and community development. Certainly, we want to talk about the manufacturing space and the role of mechatronics and things like that. But just talk in general about Motlow's contribution to economic and community development, and then about your automation and mechatronics programs.
Sure. So in terms of economic and community impact, we're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of our graduates, and we have some graduates who've done very, very well for themselves after transferring to go on to some of our prestigious public Tennessee institutions or private, as well as starting their own businesses as entrepreneurs. And because of that, they give back. And oftentimes when we think about giving back, we think of philanthropic, that it has a remuneration. It's a dollar amount.
Right.
It is not only philanthropic, it is the fact that when you see that seal, the Motlow seal, and your hiring manager, you know that you're going to get quality. You know that that student has gone through a rigorous and quality program to graduate, that there are no social promotions and attaboys or attagirls to get through any of our programs. And that's a testament to our faculty as well as to the support system from student success and our staff at our various locations. So that's really important to identify. The other part about this is that the impact that Motlow's graduates are having on the local and the regional, but in some instances the state economy, because when we think about where does the skills gap reside, it is something that is expansive across the top five areas that we continue to look at: construction currently, technology, and innovation. I've got to throw that part in.
Mm-hmm.
Innovation. It's also advanced manufacturing, logistics and supply chain management. And because we're in the bubble, or the concentric bubble, Venn diagram-ish bubble of Davidson County, Nashville, hospitality and tourism.
Yeah, no question.
I couldn't be on the show or talk about the impact of economy without talking about Jack Daniel and Uncle Nearest, Pritchard's, as well as George Dickel in terms of the whiskey trail. So that's really something that brings in 500 to 600,000 people annually just coming through. So we're trying to do a better job to be a part of that heritage. Even though we know that we are, we want to be a part of the story too. So we're working as best we can to create that space for ourselves.
I can tell you the impact of Jack Daniel's is international, and you know that, but I served for several years on the Japan trade mission and a group called SUSE, the Southeastern U.S.-Japan Partnership. And we would go to Japan, but we would also bring the Japanese back here, and to a person, they wanted to tour Jack Daniels. They also wanted to buy a Dolly Parton CD or something. So Dolly Parton and Jack Daniels were the two anchors for anything Tennessee and with the Japanese.
That's tied well together because even though that's tourism and hospitality, think of the chemistry, the STEM fields that it takes to make that precious spirit that comes from that precious cave that has that special water in Lincoln County and in Tullahoma, Moore County. The automation and mechatronics component of that is the preparation for engineering.
And absolutely.
There are going to be so many cycles that spin out of that for those who are very interested in the craft distilling as well as craft brewing. And we're seeing that happen, not that it hasn't happened, but it's occurring more and more and more. And what I'm really looking forward to is that there's going to be some creative thinker out there that's going to pair not just the Jack Daniel barbecue, where they use the spirit to make desserts and foodstuffs, but also a whole cuisine that's about pairing it with the various whiskeys that we have.
It is amazing, and it you're absolutely right that the science behind it is pretty phenomenal. The Tennessee Tech's had a great tradition of providing master distillers or master brewers for Jack Daniel with Jimmy Bedford and others. But right after Jimmy Bedford, the next one had a PhD in environmental science from Tennessee Tech. And he said it was all about the chemistry.
That's right.
You don't think about that when you're sipping a bit of that brew, but it is about chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely. The difference between, as I'm learning more and more, the type of ice and how you freeze that ice, the type of water that's used to make that ice, can make a distinct difference in terms of flavoring when you're drinking the spirit. And that's scientific, and that's not something I would have thought of three or 4 years ago.
No, me either. Well, you're ramping back up for the fall, even though we're still in late spring, early summer. We're looking ahead to fall. What can students anticipate? Do you expect everything to be back on campus, or is there still going to be a very healthy online virtual presence also?
So we're preparing to be up to 90%, and if I had my way, we would be back 100%. But I know that we have to have a small space for error, and in that error is not on anyone. It's just a matter of what will the virus do? How will it change? And will we be able to respond to it? Not react, but to respond to it appropriately. The most important feature that I want students to understand is that their health, their safety, and wellness is paramount. That is on top of student success and workforce development being pillars for why they're coming to us to get prepared for their futures. But we have already started to come back. We're going to take care of our employees because we want them to know we value them as well. And so they can take care of the students and the community members that are seeking to simply use a library or to check out a book. So the services that we're looking to have back on ground are to be full services when we move back to fall of 2021. Over the course of the next 120 days or so, which will get us through the end of August, roughly, we intend to move ourselves back appropriately and to focus on three things: function, operations, and the most important part, service, because that's what we're here for.
We've been talking to Dr. Michael Torrance, the president of Motlow State Community College, one of the fastest growing community colleges in the nation. And Michael, it's always great to see you and great to have you back on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. I appreciate you.